How amazing was that? Oh. You know, it's amazing because feeling like the whole time in prayer and like just this night of warfare, man. Like it's cold and it's winter and oftentimes things are a bit difficult. But it really felt when we were praying tonight, like each one of us needed, like there's almost like a grace to grab hold of to teach us how to fight in a new way. Maybe just a reminder, but it's something that God's got for us to hold on to and break through tonight. I don't know if you feel that. But then even the worship went that way. And Ant and Joel haven't really been part of our prayer or anything. But it really felt like, for me personally, I went from this corporate worship to then this individual worship, then this sweet presence, and then this corporate. And then in the end, I just felt like the Lord was training me again to find Him in the zone, in the secret place. Like, this is what you declare my praises, and I've kept you for heaven one day. And between you and me right now, this is where you find me. This is where you find your breakthrough. And suddenly I forgot we were even in corporate worship with the family. It's like the Lord is doing something very special. So stay connected to Him, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm in a war zone. I mean, it's every day. But right now, I feel like I'm in a real war zone this year. This last month, I was sick for the whole month of June. 28th of May, I got sick. Then Benoni came. I remember I took the Friday off because Dan and the guys were here. And I was so sick that Friday. The weekend, I had to push through because we had our partners with us. And it was awesome, but I was so sick that weekend. Then I flew to my stepmom's funeral a week later. And I bombed myself with meds. And I thought, oh, I'm through it. And I came back from England on the plane. I got more sick. And then went back to work. And there was huge drama at the office. And I've just got better. And it's like, what's today? 30th of June. Just over a month, I was sick. I was sick for the whole of June. It's like, but what is God doing in all of it? I heard the word cling in one of the songs, and I was like, cling to you, Jesus. That's my word tonight. And I don't know if it's a word for you as well, but that's what He's like. He personalized something for me tonight. So I know He's taking us through a battle zone. He's taking us through. He's taking some. It's us. We're family. We're all connected. And I realize again, like, how do I know that the Lord is a living God? I know that He rose again and then He lives amongst us. And no other philosophy, religion, God-seeking person outside of Jesus can claim that their God walks with them. Ours does. He's with us tonight, personalizing things, leading us, and actually teaching us how to warfare and how to fight. In song, in praise, in truth, in declaration, this is how we fight. But Monday to Friday, it's difficult to come into the zone all the time, this place. But actually, that's what we've got to train ourselves to do. God's onto something, training our souls. There's a great message this morning from Luke in City Bowl. I've heard about it. And it's been something on my heart lately as well, that if we can't disciple ourselves, how are we going to disciple the nations? And discipling ourselves is training our soul for battle, training our soul for Jesus, training our soul for our entire devotion to Him. And He's a living person. And He teaches us how to fight. So with something of that, I really feel He's doing with us. I'll intro my message next. Because it's a little bit different to warfare. However, without grace, we can't do anything, can we? And we've been on a little bit of a series of looking at who God is and what is He like. Who remembers what we've touched on? Okay, I'll start. When Dan was here, we learned that God is a patient God and that He's actually not tolerant, to just dispel some of the, you know, the words of the day, that He's a tolerant God. No, He's actually just very patient with us. And then we had a few other topics. Anyone remember what else we've looked at? God is holy, yeah? And last week? Mercy. So that's at three. And God is full of grace. But we can look at the aspects of God and be busy forever. I mean, we could go on and on and on. But I also feel Him leading us into a place of, so now that we know what He's like and have a reminder of who He is, how do we please Him as His children? How do we please His heart? So we're going to start moving into that space as well. obviously he can turn things around and change some weekends because he's moving amongst us, and he might do that. But for now, we're looking at grace, and it may be a slightly different look at grace, a little bit different to the obvious, but I'm going to link it a bit to the Father, and you'll see why. Firstly, what I'm trusting for, and what I think even comes through from tonight, is that he'll settle some of us in his grace. So settling and putting us back into his favor, that we can rest in him, number one. And number two, that he's the Father of grace. And sometimes even hearing that, you almost can't grab hold of what he's got tonight, because your picture of Father is difficult at the moment. You have a wound that's still not fully healed about Dad, Father, and that affects you and God. So I feel he's going to do that as well, for him to extend his grace tonight, that he's going to touch on any wounds that are not healed around a father. And you hopefully break bread at the end of tonight. And you can spend time with him, with a friend, with someone, and spend time, let him heal that part of your heart. Okay, let's jump into a scripture, 1 Timothy 1, verse... Hey, thank you. I'm going to read it from here, from the NIV. Paul writing to Timothy, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy." Sorry, that's only 14. Just stay with me from verse 12. "That he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." So there you have Paul. Imagine him being the young Timothy, or the young disciple called Timothy. And the first thing he says to him is, "I thank you for the grace given to me, for the strength that you've given me." And then he speaks about the grace that was poured out. And I want us to just look at poured and abundantly. Because there's never a question about, has God got the enough to give us victory or enough to help us through? Because he's a God of grace. He's a God of holiness. He's perfect, and he can't help himself. The question is, do we believe that it's abundant and for us, and that he's willing to pour it out? So this is why we need to know who our Father is and have our identity rooted in him, so we can grab hold of his tools, his love, his grace, his kindness for us, so we can win the battles and have victory beyond Sunday to Sunday, or moment to moment. We have victory daily in our life, and we can have a victory he's got for us. So sometimes, if you look at Paul, oh my word, he has reason to be thankful, right? So often Paul writes, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." It's not just like, oh, you've got to understand how thankful Paul must be. From persecuting and killing Christians, from hating us with a passion, murdering us because of who we are and what we believe. He gets his life turned around through an encounter the living Jesus, and he cannot help himself from living with a thankful heart. Thanks, he shows Timothy how thankful he is before writing to him. He then says, "My strength comes from Jesus, not me." We heard that. It's Jesus who's fighting our battles. Paul's as well. "He considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though," and then he touches on his previous life, giving thanks. And there's something about knowing the grace of God that you can look back and say, "I was once this blasphemer, persecutor. And I look at the room and I look at myself and I, oh my word, God has done a big grace work in our lives as well." How thankful are we on a daily basis? We chatted about it in the premium. When you look back, just take stock. 2003 was when Taryn and I gave our heart to Jesus. Quite a while now, 16 years. And he's done a lot. But it takes a lot of thinking to remember pre-2003. You go back there sometimes and go, wow, God, your grace is abundant. It's massive. No one else would have ever been able to bring me to a place like the place I am today, besides a good, gracious Father. So just another look at two more quick scriptures, then we'll jump into something else. But I think you've got these, Dale. Romans 3, 23, 24. There we go. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We know that scripture well. and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So a lot of us know the first scripture, verse 23, which always puts us in a position of needing God's grace. We all know that we have no, every single one of us has fallen short. But look at the promise. And then we are justified. We're made righteous. We are put into right standing with God the Creator. Because of his grace. And there's his grace coming through again. Abundantly enough for every single person on the earth that's ever lived, that ever will live. So abundant. No one is short of that grace. Just as in verse 23, no one is short of the mark. No one is perfect. Everyone is short of the mark. Just as everyone is short, so everyone can get included in grace, in abundant grace. In John 1, verse 14, John writes the same type of message. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory of the one and only Son, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. John, who walked with Jesus and grew old in the love that he got from spending time with Jesus, knowing how he is full of grace, full of truth. So, a question about his fathership before we move on. I'll just talk about just security and identity. Because without that, we really can't do much in Jesus. Like, we can't really live from victory to victory unless we know who we are. Otherwise, we're just cannon fodder. You know, if we're in the battle, which we are, we get tossed from side to side. We're like, we haven't even really learned to pick up arms, or we're not fit for battle till we know who we are. We're not going to win anything. So this is just an amazing little insight. Just going to touch on two things, grace and also peace, but mostly grace. And you'll see why in a moment. Actually, maybe let me read the scripture from Colossians, Dale. Colossians 1, verse 1 and 2. It's just the intro. We're just going to hang in the intro of Colossians. The intro goes like this. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. So there's grace and peace, the two words. Almost every one of Paul's letters, which are quite a lot, most of the New Testament, he always starts, the first thing he gives the people is grace and peace. He touched on mercy once in Timothy, which is interesting. Maybe because Timothy was young, he needed mercy. I was just thinking to myself, maybe that's why he used mercy just in his letters to Timothy. He's a young man. He's still, just mercy for you as well, Timothy. But every other time when he spoke to the churches in the letters, it was grace and peace I leave you. And John did the same thing. John actually said grace, mercy, and peace. And Jude was just mercy and peace. Peter, grace and peace. Both letters of peace, Peter as well. And so the first part of calling us who we are, right in the start of Colossians, verse 2, to God's holy people. Paul addresses the people, calls them what they are. We need to know who we are in Christ. Before laying into the church or giving direction or anything, calls them what they are. So what happens to those people? They're identified, they're secure, they know we are the holy people of God. Paul has just reminded us. And there's a settling at first. We should feel that settling as we read the letters in their whole, as a whole. We should read the letter as a whole always. So it secures you right at the start. You know who God is. You know how he sees you. What does holy mean? We're set apart. We're different to the world. We're made different to the rest of humankind, us that know him here tonight. We are set apart for his work, but we're set apart as we are different. We're made different. The only time we feel maybe we're not is we're losing a battle or we forget our identity. And that's our daily walk. But it doesn't change the truth of who we are, who he says we are. We're just learning to pick up arms and how to battle in his grace. Remind ourselves in worship and song and scripture reading through friends that I know who I am in him. That's warfare. You're fighting lies of the enemy who wants to discredit who we are. And right at the start, tell you that you're not different and called out and holy. But Paul says that's different. He also says we're united with Christ. Also in verse 2. the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. See, when we've got a position, we know who we are, that he's done this with us and set us apart, but also put us in Christ. That's where our power is. That's where our strength is. So we have the spiritual identity, right, with this responsibility on earth to carry out the message of Jesus. So very often we can get so busy, I'm sure many of us have been there, with our earthly responsibility. And sometimes we get stuck because we forget the first part, which is what? Our identity, spiritual identity, who we are spiritually with God in eternity. Without that, we get caught up in the responsibility, and what happens to us then? We get tired, we get discouraged, we sometimes lose our identity. Believers go backwards. Maybe they become prodigals running away from the things of God. That was never his plan. His plan was to secure us in Christ, that we know our identity, and that we, even if we go through trials and ups and downs, we can always come back to him. And that is what a good father does. To the dads here and the parents will know that a good father is full of grace, even for difficult children. We do have grace, even when we don't feel like it. I know dads are nodding. You'd be really upset, and then your child goes to bed, and then 5 minutes later you're at the bed and kissing them, and oh, you're so cute, and I love you so. Meanwhile, 15 minutes before, you were furious. Where is it the grace of a father? We know what that's about. You just can't help but extending grace and overflowing with joy for your children. So verse 1 deals with our identity right at the front. Verse 2, where we go into grace and peace to you from God the Father. What does he give right at the start of the letter to the church? He gives grace and peace. Just two words from the Father, grace and peace. And this is Paul really going, I know what your needs are as a body. And you know, if we ask ourselves, our needs are many and great, right? But Paul just hits two things, which I thought was interesting. Grace will cover our everyday need for every day for the rest of our life on earth. Short life. Grace will sort that out. That's all he gives to the church. That's all we actually need for our everyday needs. It's grace. That's it. We had to learn to access that grace. That's our part. Let me read this to you quickly. Where is that scripture? It came to me in worship. Oh, Hebrews. Let me jump into Hebrews quick. Hebrews 4. This wasn't on my notes. 4:12. Hebrews 4:14 and onward. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet just every way that we were, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See the responsibility there for us to find grace in our time of need. It's abundant and it overflows, and it is who he is. We need to know who we are in him, and we need to know that's our access point for victory and for the battle. So first is that. Grace. And what about peace? Peace is a state of our heart, right? So we know who we, that we reconcile to the Father, that we are with him, that we have peace and not turmoil, but peace we should have for now and into eternity. So he wants us to have those two, grace and peace, working together. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. Kind and compassionate God. We looked at that with Ross over the last few weeks. Isaiah 30:18 says in the Old Testament, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to us. He rises to show you compassion. Do you know that he gets off his throne to give kindness and compassion to us, to extend grace? He wants to be part of every one of our battles, every one of our days, giving us grace. He's alive. It's not like he's given something for us and then he's a distant God out of the picture, not involved. He's involved. He's involved with us in worship, walking with us, leading us, stopping us, drawing us into intimacy, reminding us, fighting with us, you know, reminding us that David and Goliath, that it's David stepping into him. David had no chance. We don't have a chance. We must step into him. And the invite was there, fresh tonight. And it's continuing. The invite is continuing for us to take his grace and peace every day. So God is gracious. Here are a couple of reasons why he's gracious, just for some bullet points to chew on in the weeks ahead. He's gracious because it's his character to love and extend grace, even when, even when he doesn't get it back from us, because we do. We go up and down, but he's still the same. Secondly, he gives favor, mercy, and kindness on whoever he pleases, because it's his choice. It's who he is. And thirdly, he made us, so he gives grace to us. Think about it. If you made something, in a sense, we made Reuben and Rebecca. I won't get into detail. God gave us children. But you see yourselves, Rebecca's just like her mom. She's all over the shop, running through walls. You've seen her at church. She's busy like Tara. Reuben looks a bit like me. He's a little bit gentler, softer. Rebecca's got her mom's fieriness. But they are, it's like we had to have made these little two. It's obvious. But God's the great. But because we see so much of ourselves, we cannot help ourselves. Cannot help ourselves. As cross as you get sometimes. You just cannot. So think of God, the perfect God. When he looks at us, he looks past all our faults. And he sees Jesus' blood. Imagine what he thinks when he sees us. It's just, he cannot help himself. So that's why he's gracious to us. He has a very cool quote by a theologian called Millard Erickson, which I'm going to read. Grace is another attribute that is part of the manifold of God's love. By this we mean that God deals with his people not on the basis of their merit or worthiness, what they deserve, but simply according to their need. In other words, he deals with them on the basis of his goodness and generosity. Cool quote, eh? It's very true. It's rich. It's full of who God is and why he acts the way he does. Manifold. Do you want to show that image? So that's a manifold. It's part of an engine. The petrol heads can crit me afterwards, but I know nothing about car engines. Marius is laughing. Daryl's laughing. Dale's laughing. But in Benoni, they polish those things, okay? So there's another one as well. So I wouldn't know where to start. Taran, can you come help me, babes? I don't know where to start with things like that. But you see the word manifold wisdom of God, I think in Ephesians, a wonderful scripture about his manifold wisdom. It's one of the most powerful scriptures in the New Testament. And here we have manifold used by this guy, this Erickson fellow. And it's because if God is holy and loving as a base, it's probably those are his base attributes. But his manifold is what, because he's that, he can't help distributing so many more facets of who he is, like a manifold does. So grace and kindness and mercy and compassion just flow because of who he is. And that's what we see with grace. It's like this manifold distribution of grace and compassion and kindness, because he cannot help himself. Because we look, if you go back 3 weeks and just consider all the things that have been taught from here about him and his nature. So that's my Benoni trick for the night. And I'm going to move on to how God shows his grace. How does he show his grace? So parents wanting to nurture their children, right? God wants to give gifts to us. He gives gifts to us. He gives grace gifts to us. Do you know that everything we do in him, everything we see amongst us, every miracle, every person's life changed, every salvation that comes is a gift of his grace through us. We could do nothing without his grace gifts. When he touches one of us to extend a part of his heart, it's never got anything to do with us. It's only because he put the grace gift on us. So that's how he distributes. And then he personalizes each and every gift, doesn't he? Even though we don't always recognize what he's doing, he does something very personal with each of us. And that's what a father and parent is like. It's a very personal relationship with every child. you think you just blanket love your children, and you do, but there's a very personal love and relationship that develops with each child. And so God is the same. And you must remember that for yourself when the battle rages, because you can quite easily look and go, hey, James was grace gifted for that, and he's been walking in that, and, you know, Michelle with the kids, and look at that grace gifted, but what about me? Well, remember Hebrews, find his grace in time of need. Get personal with Jesus. Like, there were moments in worship where he was getting personal with us tonight, luring and drawing us into his presence, because that's who he is. He's the Father. So when he is gracious to us, is the last point. All the time. All the time. Right until the end of our life on earth, and right through eternity. Doesn't stop. So the when is, there's no end. It's beautiful, because he can't now go and change his character when we get to eternity. Or he can't change, you know, James is doing well, he's in the later years of his life, he's 60, he hasn't retired yet, he's touching church plants all over the world. Can you imagine James at 60, flying? So James is flying, so I'll just take my grace off him, and I need to go help Jackie now, because Jackie's off to, yeah, some foreign country, and she needs me right now. It doesn't stop. His grace is an abundant flow of grace continuously for everything we need in this life and beyond. How amazing. It's like, oh, I don't even think we scratched the surface in our lives yet. What we've tasted today is good for today, and tomorrow's a new day. And the future, who knows what we have in him? Who knows? So maybe some of us still, you know, struggle with this thing of, do I deserve his grace? Can I stand before him and actually expect him to pour out his grace on me? And I want to say it's an identity thing. It's not a God problem. It's not his. There's nothing wrong with his character, or there's nothing false about what he's said. That's some shift that we need to make if we're feeling that tonight. It's a stepping into the identity that he says. Is what Paul writes right in the beginning. What does he say? A holy people, called out people. So if you know the Lord Jesus tonight, in whatever condition you're in, you need to know that you're secure in your position with him. You call that holy one of his. So I had a sense that he does want to speak to some people about identity and about their security in him. He wants to speak words and life over you. Just as we declared many words tonight, as we were warfaring in worship and even in prayer, there was lots of speaking truth back to God and declaring. And life comes, and identity comes when we do that. So I feel there's an opportunity to do that tonight. It's the one thing. And the second thing, letting the Lord actually come and heal what he needs to heal in our hearts. A father wound that might be in hearts tonight. So if anybody's struggling to see God the Father in all his truth, because you've had a picture that hasn't always represented that here on earth, then you need to deal with that picture. Don't let that picture give you a wrong perception of God. Deal with the picture here on earth, because it's going to affect your all-time identity and time with Jesus. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your grace and peace, for the very things that Paul wanted to give the very first church. And in a sense, our leaders and the apostles amongst us still want to lead us into grace and peace. And even tonight, I want to ask, Lord, you'd extend your grace, your unmerited favor onto us, your people tonight. You'd restore a sense of peace in our hearts as your children, as your sons and daughters, that you'd bring your peace now, Lord. And even as we open up our hearts before you, Lord, I pray that you'd help settle us. We need to be settled again and rest in your grace. So if that's you, just hang there and let the Lord just speak to your heart. There's something of a settling and a peace and a rest in his presence that you feel he's doing in your heart. Just allow him to work. Ask him to stay there with you. And then when you break bread, Find somebody to talk about it and pray with. Open up your heart in that space. And then if just hearing the word Father, a good Father, a gracious Father, a perfect Father, has been a struggle in some way in your heart tonight, allow him to come into that place as well. Give it a fresh touch. Allow him into that part of your heart that may feel closed, might not feel that open right now. Allow him into that space. Allow him to fix a wound. He's the God of heaven. He's the Father of all mankind. He's the Father of eternity. He's overflowing in grace. He cannot help himself. Remember, there's an abundant grace here tonight for you, for me, for every one of us. So just allow him in. Thank you, Lord Jesus.